You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live at the Visitor Center at Forest Park, we are here, the Chris and Amy Show. It's hour two of three with you until 12 o'clock today. And we are here because of Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical 100 Acts of Kindness is going on right now. It has been for a couple of months and is going on through the remainder of the year. We're celebrating 100 years of KMOX. We thought we'd do 100 Acts of Kindness, and all because of Jerry Kelly, who has been kind enough to purchase water and lemonade that we are handing out to people who are coming by. We thought it might be 110 degrees today, but it turns out it's going to be like 80. So anyway, you could still stop by, get some water. We're right outside the visitor center. So we have with us right now Cindy Tyler, general manager of Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, and Amelia Williamson, who is the marketing coordinator, both with us now. First of all, thanks for sitting down with us and coming out and having us here, too.
Sure, love being here.
So I have to tell you, I have to tell you first, Jeff Miller.
Oh my gosh,
he came in studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was he in?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
And he gave me some advice with a humidistat.
Okay.
Which I didn't know what that was, but I have one at my new place, and he said turn the thing off. It's been beautiful in my place since I turned it off.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. He didn't even have to come out to the house, and he fixed my problem.
He was like one of those radio call-in shows where people need help with relationships and all of that.
Like the gardening show.
Like the home and garden show, only was with air conditioning, I had to ask him about whether or not to keep my fan on, the air conditioning fan, and he was saying you don't want to keep the motor running all the time because it could burn that sucker out. So I went home and turned the fan off, and we'll have to have him on again because we had more people texting in with questions, and then people started texting in with winter questions.
Okay.
So we'll have him on again because it was very helpful. It was awesome.
Great. Yeah. He's really good with that.
So, Jerry Kelly Heating and Cooling and Electrical.
And Electrical.
When did you guys add the Electrical?
We added Electrical November of last year. And we're excited. We're going to be doing plumbing later this month.
Plumbing.
Do we get to add that to the title?
Uh-huh. We'll be adding that to the title
this
month.
The Encyclopedia Britannica, where you would buy it, then you had to keep buying the extra books to keep it updated.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've got. We're going to keep adding. So it'll be Jerry Kelly Heating and Cooling and Electrical and Plumbing.
Yes.
August 18th.
Well, that's...
Oh, my gosh. It's really coming up.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Cindy, I love plumbing.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, I love plumbing, too.
I am such
a plumbing guy. He's actually not joking if you think, well, he's blowing smoke because... Mm-hmm. Jerry Kelly's here. That is not why. He talks about plumbing more than anybody should. Yeah.
I don't think we recognize how great plumbing is.
Once it's missing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Plumbing is awesome. Mm-hmm. The things go in a drain and then they're gone.
They're gone.
You have to throw them out the front window.
Getting nice clean water is important too.
Right. That's exactly
it. You can wash that towel every day in.
Okay, so the
thank you.
Excuse me.
Very much.
Excuse
Cindy.
Me. May I now? The American Cleaning Institute.
Heard of that.
The American Cleaning Institute is the home of U.S. cleaning products industry. So we're talking, you know, Clorox and all those things, right? They recommend 3 to 5 times after 3 to 5 uses of your bath towel, then you wash it. And these are people who want you to use their cleaning products.
Wow.
So if they could lie to you and say you got to wash every time, of course you have to wash every time. They're not. They're telling you 3 to 5.
Wow.
So you don't agree.
They're riveted.
No, everybody here.
Yeah.
They have. When we got to the commercial break, these two ladies here were all over me for saying that bath towels can go 3 to 4 uses.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's because it's just a little damp.
It is
a little damp raunch.
The American Cleaning Institute says it's good.
And the little mold spores are going to reach out and help
after,
dry you off.
I'm afraid. That's one of my three big fears.
Mold
and mildew, gum disease, and going to prison for a crime I didn't commit. Those are my three big fears. And so you can see the bath towel situation is problematic. Yes. So with Jerry Kelly Heating and Cooling and Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical, with the 100X of kindness and be involved in the community, why was this something that was important for Jerry Kelly?
We need to have that community involvement and give back. And, you know, there's, you know, we're... I don't know the best way to say it, but we want to be involved more in the community and just, you know, be out there and do what we can to give back. And so,
well, I mean,
there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and it's great name recognition. Everybody knows the Jerry Kelly name. You guys are based in and started in the St. Charles area?
Correct.
How long ago did you guys start?
47 years ago.
And have grown since then?
Yes, we have grown since then.
Now we're going to add plumbing?
I know. We're really excited about it.
What else do people need to know about Jerry Kelly?
I think community outreach, like you were saying, is really important to us. Jerry Kelly was founded on that. So just being able to give back to the community and get out there and get to make a difference is just really important to us. And it's just really great being able to give back and see what a difference can make.
So have you, since we've partnered together, has Jerry Kelly ever questioned the partnership?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, maybe. I mean, no. What's your view on socks and sandals?
Okay. First of all, I think it's...
Before she answers...
Birkenstocks are great.
Before she answers, you should know that Amy's a real square.
Listen, I think tube stocks and Birkenstocks, it gets a bad rap. It gets a bad rap. But I think if you have kind of a nice sweatshirt... and maybe a nice pair of athletic shorts, and you pair that with tube socks and Birkenstocks, or maybe some jean shorts with tube socks and Birkenstocks and a big sweater. I think it's very chic.
I think they've earned their rap.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that
Cindy
why
gets
my
it.
Sister said? Yeah. She goes, I walked in, and she goes, wow, you look like you never want to go on a date ever again.
Yep. I would agree with your sister.
I was like, that's hurtful.
Who, Amy? She's not even trying. She stopped trying a long time ago.
I don't know. I think it's a good look. All right. So other than that, I guess that's really the only time you've questioned it, which is fine. Although we did bring up the booties that the Jerry Kelly.
When they come into your home.
Come in and do,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was that?
Well, it's just good customer service. I mean, you were outside in the elements all day, every day. You walk through people's yards and things, and you never know what you're going to bring, you know, pick up. And you don't want to carry that into somebody's home.
I never paid attention to the booties as much until we talked to you guys several months ago. And now, I've had some work done and maybe some lights replaced and so forth. And I notice when someone doesn't have booties on, I feel like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Where are your booties?
So we were... I guess the last couple of days, talking about energy prices and how difficult it is to, you know, keep those down, especially when it's really hot. We got a reprieve the last couple of days because it's been, in the 70s and now up to 80. So what can people do? What are some things people can do? They want to have the AC running when it's hot, but you want to minimize how much it's going to cost at the end of the month.
So the biggest thing is turn on your ceiling fans. You know, get that air movement going so that you feel that wind coming off of it, and you'll ultimately feel a little cooler in your home. And I think Jeff mentioned it on Wednesday, but keep your doors open. It allows better circulation throughout the house, and it'll help drop that humidity. And you get a lot of people that complain about one room is stuffy, and it's usually because that door is shut and it's creating negative pressure, and so you're not getting that proper airflow.
So if you have a room that you just don't care about, that, you know, no one ever goes in there, it can stay hot, we'll just shut the door, close the vents in there. Is that a good thing to do or not?
So it's not bad, but I wouldn't close the vents all the way. You don't want it to capture moisture in there on those really hot days. So you want to keep some airflow going through there, maybe not the full pressure. But yeah, you don't want moisture to gather.
Is it the same? I know with my parents and their house, the front of their house and the upstairs gets like direct sun most of the day. So they've gotten blackout curtains or something to close during the day. You kind of hate to shut your house down during the day, but it does feel like it's impossible to keep the second floor cool if you're not doing something to mitigate the sun that's streaming in.
Right. If you've got one system that's cooling a multi-level house, it's always going to struggle with the upper levels. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, blackout curtains are really good. Solar screens are another alternative. Then you don't have to worry about it, and you can determine how much sun you want coming through regularly.
I know it's a bigger deal in the winter, mm-hmm. or at least it's my impression it's a bigger deal in the winter to make sure, your windows are sealed and the mm-hmm. the spot under your door, yep. Your doorway is covered, right? So are there cheap ways to do that so people don't have to spend a lot of money to make sure they're as insulated as they can be?
I mean, the easiest thing is just redoing that foam seal around the window or the doors, excuse me, and then, periodically recaulk your windows. So it's a very inexpensive thing to do. It's much less expensive to replace, or much more expensive to replace your windows. So if you can caulk around them and reseal it, that's a much better alternative. So, and then in the summertime, another alternative is because our attics get so hot in there, and that ultimately transfers into your home, you could always put a solar attic fan on top of your roof and draw that heat out of the attic and keep that air circulating through there. And that'll help draw the temperature in your home as well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for the tips. Like I said, talking to Jeff, we want to have him on again as well. The questions that you've answered today have been helpful. And, of course, appreciate what you guys are doing with the Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical 100 Acts of Kindness. It's been a ton of fun being involved in the community. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming out to Forest Park today. It's Cindy Tyler, General Manager of Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning and Electrical, and Amelia Williamson, Marketing Coordinator. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
They brought all the water and lemonade, taking care of the visitors mm-hmm. here at the Visitor Center at Forest Park.
And Matt's earning a fine living for himself with this.
He really is.
Yeah.
He really is. Yeah.
Like $14 now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you up to, buddy? $14, $15.
Wow.
$15. And he's going to spend it on Bud Light. That's what he's doing.
If you keep working and sell a little bit more lemonade, you can buy one of those towels that Michael Kelly was talking about.
A $25 towel.
Yeah.
You mean the bath sheet?
The bath sheet, yes.
For every dollar you make, one less minute of berating after the show. Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So 12 o'clock, we are live at the Visitor Center at Forest Park. We are here and we hope that you will come by. We're here thanks to Jerry Kelly. We got lemonade and water that we're giving out. Also, Carlos Hitchcock from Creative Home and Innovation is here. And his organization is helping repair homes after the tornado in the middle of May. So doing some good work in the community, trying to get people back closer to what they were. So Creative Home and Innovation by Carlos Hitchcock. You can find him on Facebook. We appreciate Carlos for stopping by here today. Amy and I have been welcoming your text messages. We always do, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, we do.
314-436-7900.
Here's one who says, back in the mid to late 80s, mm-hmm. we were in St. Louis and wanted to see what the Chase Park Plaza Hotel looked like. So we walked in, decided to have a drink. 20 minutes later, Billy Joel started playing an impromptu session.
No.
I told you, he does that all the time. He finds a piano bar or a bar with a piano, and he walks in and just starts playing.
That is incredible. Now, I had a friend who did, gosh, this must have been like 20 years ago, but he did ballroom dancing. like ballroom dancing lessons and competitions. And I guess there was one at the Ritz, or not, at the Ritz-Carlton. Is there a ballroom there? Yeah, that would make sense.
Well, I mean, there has to be. It's the Ritz-Carlton.
You would think so. Well, guess who was also in town? The Rolling Stones. And after the concert and after the ballroom competition, they were sitting there, like, at the bar, having a drink, and Mick Jagger sat down next to him.
Oh, my God.
That would be... That would stun me into silence.
There was a place in Chicago called the Double Door.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding was the Rolling Stones would go in there under a different name and play a show. And it was a small venue, like a really small bar, and would just go in there and play, and it'd be the Rolling Stones under some different title. So we were talking about the towels.
Yes.
And how often you have to wash them.
Yes.
Okay, so this text says, this is from a 314, if you wash them right, getting the dirt off, and dry the towel correctly, you may seldom need to wash it.
What does that mean?
That means this person never washes their towels. Their bath towels. That's what that means.
If you wash it right or wash you right?
No, it says if you wash right, that means get the dirt off.
Yeah, but dead skin comes off of your body. You've just showered and all the dead skin flakes and cells are in that towel.
Part of me wants to give out this person's phone number.
Don't do
it. So that if you're listening, you can look it up and make sure you're not friends with them. Like, I'm never using their towels.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. 314-436-7900. Now, as you know, I love going to the mountains and I have run into a grizzly bear. And it was actually really bad, and we're never in danger. Another loss for the bears. That's all Ranji experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so rarely in danger in a lot of our lives today that really, really, really morbid. When I say we were way too close, we were about 20 feet from this grizzly bear. He was higher than the tree line. They're never higher than the tree line. We were climbing very steep, and the wind was blowing down the mountain, so he couldn't smell us. He couldn't hear us, which is why I think all parties involved were surprised. And we come up and my friend goes, Amy, we need to stop. And I said, why? She said, because there's a bear. And I look up and, like I said, 20 feet away, he's got that face and the hunched shoulders and he does the like that. Mm-hmm. But our bear spray wasn't going to work because the wind was blowing down the mountain. So we made ourselves big. We got out ponchos and we just said, hey, bear. Hey, bear. And we backed up. We were able to get away. Thankfully, they closed the trail the next week because he did charge somebody. And once you have a bear on a trail that's charging humans, you have to close that trail. And it was the only time in my life, the most morbid thought was I remember thinking, how bad is this going to hurt? Like, to die that way. That's how I felt. Like, it knocked me down a peg. Like, you know how we talk about hiking and it's all fun and games? This took away a little bit of the fun and games, and I've been a little gun shy since. So the New York Times, because everyone's going to national parks, you're going to Yosemite, maybe Rocky Mountain National Park, came out with a wildlife quiz. And I'm going to see if you know the rules to stay alive in the parks. The National Park Service generally recommends staying at least 25 yards away from animals like bison, deer, moose, and coyotes. How far back does it recommend staying away from wolves and bears?
From wolves, 100 yards.
Yes.
Is it 100
yards? 100 yards. Yes. Yeah. So again.
I would make it.
You would make it.
I would make it in the wild.
300 feet. You have to be at least 300 feet, 100 yards from a bear. We were 20. That's not great.
Yeah.
Bison can weigh up to 2,000 pounds and stand over 6 feet tall. How fast can they run?
35 miles an hour.
You saw this.
I did not see this. I swear to God, I did not see this.
Yes.
I know bison can run really fast.
They can run 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
This is way less fun than I thought it would be.
So sorry, I know things.
Yeah. No, 35 miles an hour. So remember, Usain Bolt.
Yeah,
at what,
like 20-something? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a 2,000-pound bison could outrun. You're kayaking in the Everglades, and an alligator surfaces near you.
Uh-huh.
You're in a kayak.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. How should you respond? Do you want options or no?
I think you don't move. I think you, because you start splashing around and they think that you're food.
You're pretty close.
Okay.
It says you are supposed to paddle away, but you're supposed to do it so gently and slowly that you don't splash.
Yeah, don't splash. They will come after splashing.
Yeah.
You know how I know this? Because I watch people feed crocs and alligators, and they always take the meat, whatever it is, and they splash it in the water, and then the alligators come charging.
Mm-hmm. This guy's watched a lot of videos.
I've watched a lot of nature stuff.
All right, someone's going to make fun of me. Is it javelinas?
Yes, javelinas, okay, javelinas in the desert.
Yes, so I've seen them, and in fact, I was running on a trail run, and a local saw me, and I didn't know what I was looking at, and they said, you need to stop. Like, these guys are bad
news.
They're mean. So javelinas who live in the deserts of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas have occasionally caused serious injuries biting people. They resemble, but are actually a distinct species from, which more well-known animal?
Hogs.
Pigs.
Yeah.
Pigs. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yes. What do experts recommend doing to avoid being stung by stingrays?
Don't swim underneath them.
Well, I'm sure that's good advice. They say when you get into the ocean, you should shuffle your feet while you're entering the water. It's called the stingray shuffle. The vibrations generated by that movement will prompt stingrays to swim away.
Oh, you want them to swim away. Because that's how they got Steve Irwin.
That is what got Steve Irwin.
Crocodile hunters jumping on top of crocs his whole life.
And it was a stingray.
And it was a stingray got him. And they say they're not dangerous.
Well, they said they got him. I mean, again, this is really awful that he stung him in the heart. And
yeah.
That's why.
That little barb got him right in the...
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that terrible?
That's terrible.
I love Steve Irwin.
Well, not only are you getting all the answers right, which makes it not fun, but you're also telling us sad facts.
Well, this was... You never know how these are going to go.
No, you really don't. Okay, how about this one? In the extremely unlikely event that you're attacked by a black bear, experts recommend you do which of the following? Would you like the options? Or do you just want to say it?
Black bear? Yeah. So I know black bear and brown bear are different in how they behave.
Mm-hmm.
I think the brown bear is more dangerous. I think they're more aggressive.
Okay.
Right? So the black bear, you make yourself big and you yell at it.
You fight back.
Oh, you fight back with the black bear?
Yep. Black bears are skittish and will typically run away if startled. But if you, which you might be attacked, especially like if you accidentally step between a mother and a cub, which is always the scariest thing when you see a bear cub, but you don't see the mom. That's the worst feeling.
No.
Yep. And so they also said for grizzly bears, do the opposite, like lie flat on your stomach and play dead. And it goes, and then if it starts attacking you, then fight back.
Flat on your stomach?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean flat on your stomach?
That's what it says. And I know that's what they say. That's not what we did.
What did you? Oh, yeah, I know what you did.
It says lie flat on your stomach, cover your head and neck, and play dead. He goes, and then fight back if they start eating you. Well, I don't know.
Well, you have no choice at that point. You ever seen Grizzly Man? The Werner Herzog movie?
You know, yeah, because the thing is, by the end, spoiler alert, he gets eaten by a bear.
Right.
You're on the bear side by the end. This guy's insufferable. He's going into bear country.
Awful.
He deserved every bit of it. He did.
Yes, he did.
Because I know we sound really cruel right now, but watch the video. Because if you go into wild animal country and you feel like you're special.
Yeah.
And like you can domesticate them and that they know you and you can talk to them, you're insane.
And he kept saying this one bear is a little aggressive toward me. Yeah, get away from me. He doesn't want you there.
And guess what they had to do?
They had to kill the bear.
They had to kill the bear.
So have you seen the part where, and spoiler alert, but this movie's old, where he's listening, Herzog is, the director is listening to the audio of it with the wife who had never seen it, because it's all on tape, and he puts the headset down and says, you can never listen to this.
Yes.
Like, you can never hear this, because it must have been really bad.
Really bad.
But the dude deserved it. What are you messing around with grizzly bears for? They don't want you there.
All right.
They'll eat your face, and
no,
they did.
They will. They absolutely will. Not you. You know how far to stay away from
them. That's right, I do.
Do you want one multiple choice before we go?
Yes.
What invasive species in and around Death Valley National Park has become food for mountain lions, but can also wander onto roads and pose a hazard to drivers? I can give you multiple choice.
Armadillos.
No. Bison, wild burros, Burmese pythons, or camels.
Where is this again?
Death Valley National Park.
Death Valley National Park.
Yeah.
It's not pythons.
No.
Because that's in Florida. I think the pythons down there are a problem. Because they're invasive. What were the other two options?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. Come on, help me out.
Wild burros and camels. and bison.
Camels. It's wild camels in the United States. I'm going to go with burros.
Yep, he's right.
This is wild. Who would answer wild camel? I want to get out of the zoo. Escape from the zoo, and they just started breeding.
You know, the founding fathers didn't talk about the camels enough.
Why are we riding camels more often? I rode a camel at the San Diego Zoo.
Did you?
Yeah. By the way, San Diego Zoo, Cardinals are in San Diego
yes,
right
they are.
Now. Do you know how much the zoo costs in San Diego?
$45.
$76.
No, it does not.
$76 to get into the
no,
zoo.
Wait.
Yes.
You're being dead serious.
I'm dead serious.
And ours
I just
is
found
free?
This out. Ours is free.
And better.
The St. Louis Zoo is, you can walk there from here and get there in 10 minutes
yeah.
from where we are at the Visitor Center at Forest Park. Free. Free,
wow.
Great zoo. San Diego, almost $80.
Wow, I actually had no idea it was that expensive.
I didn't either. I thought it was a mistake, but it isn't.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Ranj. You and your Chicago city lifestyle, living in your
Central
little
West
apartment,
End.
Central West End,
Soulard.
Somehow know all about
bears.
Bears and wildlife. I think this is the power of YouTube.
I told you that I could survive in the wild.
Except for plumbing.
You guys got to get some of that plumbing.
Yeah.
Good thing Jerry Kelly's getting into it. They're going to be in the plumbing business in like a month. Not even, like 3 weeks. It's amazing.
Yep.
So we are here, Forest Park Visitor Center. Come out and see us. Chris and Amy show. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Come get some lemonade and water. Jerry Kelly bought all this water and lemonade for you because it's warm out to give away to you. You better take advantage while it's here. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks Kors with you, the voice of Joey Zanaboni as St. Louis City playing Aston Villa this week. It was close. 2-1 against
I know, right?
the English Premier League. And joining us now is Joey's partner in the broadcast booth, Dale Shilley, St. Louis City SC Academy director and broadcaster on Y98. Dale, it's always fun when you get these teams from the Premier League and get to see those guys on your home pitch.
Yeah, it's a whole nother level. And it is. It's great to be able to play against guys that are of that, you know, that have that ability and that good. And, it, you know, the guys did well. We showed well for ourselves and put in a good performance. And I think it was a good night for the fans. They had a good time enjoying the game and us competing and watching the quality that they got to see from Aston Villa.
When you're watching, as a soccer expert, somebody who's been around the game their entire life, when you watch a game like that, and it's not taking away from the amount of fun it is to watch MLS or go to City games or any of that, but we know it's just a different league, and the EPL is one of the greatest leagues in the world, if not the best. So when you watch two teams like that, to your eye, how noticeable is the difference in talent?
As soon as they walk onto the field and they're walking with the little ball people and the mascot, not the mascots, but the accompanying player, the kids that come out with the guys, these guys for Aston Villa were 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", across the board. They're just all big guys. And you have these little munchkin kids walking out there with them and they're bending over trying to hold their hand. And then our guys, we got a couple of 5'8" and a 5'9" and a 6'1" and a 6'2".
Wow.
Just when you look at the difference in terms of their size and athleticism, when you start to see them move, we, the guy we picked up, Sangbin, who from Minnesota, is a really athletic player from South Korea, really, really fast. And there was an outside back from Aston Villa that ran past him, and he was just coasting. And Sangbin had a head start on him. So just the level of athleticism to start with. Then when you watch the game, you recognize just how comfortable they are with the ball and how unified they are as a group. There's a whole nother level that we're trying to reach as a country that we're still reaching. We're not there, but they're good.
All right. So I want to ask you more about that, like the physicality and the difference. I actually wasn't expecting that. I didn't know that there would be a physical, visible difference between the two. Mm-hmm. But before I do, who are the little ball people?
Yeah, tell us about the ball people.
Yeah, they're just, I don't know where they all come from. They come from youth clubs around the area or certain groups of people, you know, come in and have their child walk out as a person that goes out with one of the players before the game, and then they get recognized in their picture and that kind of stuff. And they
certainly
have different people as the ball people. The ball people are more like 14 and 15-year-olds. These are more like 9 and 10-year-olds.
Okay. I think I was separating. I thought the kids and the little ball people were two different groups of people. But the physical differences between the two, that actually surprises me, Dale. So is that something then as you're developing as an elite soccer player, obviously they're looking for skills. I didn't realize, are teams also looking for size, or is that just kind of a byproduct of their physicality? Because Messi's not that tall.
Sure, but he is really quick and he's really gifted. So think about this. Think about how our top athletes in other sports, where they come from, you know, what would be their sport of choice for our top athletes that are 9, 10, 11, and 12 in order to advance in their life and move forward with whatever situation they're in. Baseball, football, basketball pay bigger dollars and attract some of our top athletes. And when you look overseas, with the money that they're getting paid over there, their top athletes play soccer. And, you know, there's other cultural things as well, and the sport being around and more apparent and that sort of thing. But the top-level athletes overseas are attracted to play soccer. So that's why you see a guy like Mings, who plays in the center of the back for Aston Villa, who's 6'5" and can move around and get wherever he needs to, you know, effortlessly, like a guy like Onana, who played in center midfield for them, also 6'4", just an extremely gifted athlete, and they're able to move around the field easily, where if they were in this country, they may not be playing soccer. They could be playing baseball or basketball or football.
So this is interesting you say that, because years ago I had this discussion, and, you know, it was a debate about soccer and the United States and why we aren't better at it as a country. And the argument you're making is the exact argument I made. And that is, well, the best athletes, they start off, everybody plays soccer when they're a kid, but then they end up filtering to the bigger sports, the ones that do make money, like football, baseball, mm-hmm. and basketball. And her argument was, no, we have the numbers. We have 40 million people in the country.
Right.
So we should have enough people in the country to put together a world-class, you know, system of play here. So is that really what it is, that just the best athletes growing up, they all find their way to the other sports instead?
No, I would say that it's beginning to change now that soccer's more accessible. Used to be a middle-class, upper-middle-class sport. It still is in great, you know, in a lot of ways, in a lot of places. But now it's beginning to change. You know, the MLS Next Academies, the MLS Academies are free for players to play and travel. So, you know, so you're increasing the accessibility for players from around the country, from different socioeconomic groups. They just have to have the abilities to be able to play at that level. So for sure, it's changing now. So there's a guy that's playing in our national team. He's a center forward. His name's Patrick Aubameyang, and he is 6'5", center forward. You know, plays in front of the goal. He's an inch or so taller than Klaus. He's a very good athlete. We are now starting to attract that level of athlete. There's a guy named Tyler Adams that plays over in Europe. Grew up here in the States from around New York, New Jersey area. Super athletic, hard, good soccer player, central midfield player. So we are now attracting those. But across the board, in terms of every team having that level of athlete across the MLS, we're not at that point yet. But from a from a country's perspective, it's growing. We're getting them. We're getting the better athletes, but it's not the same as what they attract in Europe.
Yeah, and Dale, it's really interesting too that you talked about it's becoming more accessible, no matter what your economic level may be. But you know, people talk about like travel soccer, right? And all these teams and all these clubs, and it can be political, and it's a whole ordeal as you get better and better and more serious about soccer in the United States. And sometimes that can maybe be a barrier for players. Would you say, how is it in countries where soccer is king, like so many South American, Middle American, you know, Latin American countries, or in Europe? Is it more egalitarian there, or is it still, are there still accessibility issues?
No, I would say the accessibility issues are less a big part in that the number of kids that are playing respective to the population and where people live. So where we may have to find competition in Detroit, Michigan, so we got to figure out how to drive 10 hours or fly to get to a game. That would be unheard of in Germany or Holland. The countries aren't even that big in some cases. So, you know, they're able to find competition and games within, you know, their neighborhoods or within their own community. They don't have to travel the country like we may have to do to find like competition. You know, your example of Messi when he was a kid didn't have to drive all over Argentina to try to find competition. He could find it in his neighborhood.
Yeah, and
that's important.
And
yeah.
Just as a quick note too, I think focusing on the other sports that might get more attention for these athletes in the United States, like football and basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, even hockey, right, is one of the four major sports. Baseball. I think that also kind of explains why some of the best female athletes go into soccer, because the women's soccer team does have so much attention, does have a lot of success. And if you are a female athlete, a soccer player, there might be more of a future for you in soccer than there is in hockey, which it is growing, but there's more of a future in soccer. And it's really, when I think of the two biggest leagues for women, unless I'm having a total mind blank, it would be basketball and soccer for women, female athletes here.
100%. I agree 100%. There's just a lot of visibility on the women's side because of the success of Mia Hamm and company back in the 90s, you know, with Anson Durant and the women's national team and the University of North Carolina. There was a time when every competitive girl in the country, it felt like they wanted to go play at North Carolina because of the exposure that North Carolina had, and then the women's national team. So, yeah, I would say that put us ahead of the game internationally just because of the exposure that the women's team had and girls wanting to, you know, to go and compete. And, you know, like Caitlin Clark's doing similar things here with the women's league, not just because it's new, because, you know, the women's basketball has always been prominent, but it's adding a whole nother level of exposure now for the women's game. I'm sure we're going to see a bump in the talent level of for women's basketball, just like we've seen on the women's side in soccer.
So just to take a, you know, a 30,000 foot view here, is the place that American soccer is in, is it a good place? And I'm not necessarily talking about the men's national team, because it seems like they're never in a good place. And I guess we could talk about them too, but just about soccer in general in the country, are we doing well?
Yeah, I would say we are doing well. There's more, we're getting more players out of the youth ranks into the pros. There's more players that are making it in the MLS. The level is getting higher. I think we've talked before about, in terms of just sheer numbers, and the base is growing. There's always an argument about what are we producing, the top level players that were produced in this country 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. That's going to be an ongoing argument. But there are, you know, high level players playing at a good level. It's more accessible, and you know, at the higher level. So, yeah, I would say that we are in a good place, and we are producing good players. We just, you know, just got to continue to grind the grind. But remember, as we're getting better, so are the other countries. They're not mm-hmm. standing there saying, right. hey, let's let the U.S. get better. They're trying to get better. They're refining how they're playing. They're still competing in Europe for the top line players and for championships and whatnot. They're trying to win. So it's just a game that we're trying to catch up, and it's a hard game to catch up to because they're wanting to improve as well.
Dale City SC takes on Nashville SC next Saturday. So not tomorrow, but next Saturday, August 9th at 8:30, they'll be hosting Nashville. What should fans expect from this match?
You know, what I'm looking forward to is the return of a number of the injured players. So we started to see some of the faces against Aston Villa that haven't played in a while, guys that are trying to get themselves back into form. I would say by the time we get to the Nashville game next week, we will have the majority of the guys back. We should be able to put, you know, a full team out on the field of guys that, you know, that we were expecting to play at the beginning of the year. It should be good. Should be nice. It will be nice to see the guys returning.
All right, well, we are expecting you got a week. You have 8 days to get yourself ready to get us a win.
All right, now I told you before, that's Joe's job.
Oh, you're just support?
Wait, what's your job then?
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm just lifting Joe. I'm just lifting Joe.
You're lifting him up, and when he fails, you say, what happened there?
Yeah, where was
what happened there, buddy?
Where was the goals at, Joe? Where were the goals?
All right.
Yeah.
Dale, I need a lot more out of you, man. a lot more.
I appreciate you, Dale.
I appreciate you too.
Way you are.
No. Look, just like, you know, your kids, sometimes you're disappointed, but you still love them and appreciate them.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
You don't have to take this. Our boss's name is Steve Dale, if you want to talk to him. His name is Steve.
Comma Dale.
Yeah. His name is not Steve Dale.
Dale Shilley, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Dale Shilley, City SC Academy Director, and he is on the broadcast on Y98 of SC Soccer, City Soccer.
So hey,
next week from tomorrow, yeah. Nashville, listen in, 8:30.
So when we come back, well, I guess we can say, did you see this? We're going to do, right?
Did you see this? Yeah, of course.
Okay, because I have a story that maybe we'll get to it in the 11 o'clock hour, because you know how you were the subject of a complaint on Nextdoor?
Yeah.
I think I was the subject of complaint in my new neighborhood.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think I got in trouble already.
Well, it's about time.
And they showed up at my house.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah.
It's Chris and Amy live from the Visitor Center at Forest Park. Thanks to Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical. They have provided lemonade and water if you want to stop by and grab some. Come
see
us, won't you?
That.
And people are. People love free stuff, including liquid. Especially liquid. We're here till
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
12 on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, we were talking last week about South Park and how Paramount purchased South Park for $1.5 billion, the rights to the show, as it enters season 27.
Nuts.
Well, then there was the much ballyhooed premiere of season 27 of South Park. It's the Comedy Central show, and it was a it's sacrilegious. It's subversive to the, I don't know, an exponential factor involving Trump and I think religious icons. And it probably is not my style, is what I'm saying, but very subversive in every way. And because Trump and the devil, I think, featured prominently.
They're laying in bed together.
In this episode, yes. And all of the ballyhoo about it. It was the most watched premiere on linear TV since 1999.
Wow.
1999. It drew 5.9 million viewers on Comedy Central and Paramount Plus in the first 3 days when it was available. So, again, they said, I'm sure people were anticipating this episode because of the controversial nature of it. And also it was on the heels of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creator of South Park, inking that $1.5 billion global streaming deal with Paramount.
And they clearly don't care about who they upset. They never have.
I mean,
they've done this show for almost 30 years, and they've upset a lot of people, and they just keep going.
Well, and I don't know if it was you or something that I had read about it where – it's almost like they're trying to see
how far they could push
if they can get in trouble. Can they get sued by the president? One person suggested that's what they were trying to do, is they're trying to get sued. They were trying to be canceled. And so far, I mean, they have not been canceled at all. And it's a subversive episode.
Did you see the story about a group of young Catholics in Ohio, Amy, that took a trip to Rome? And they delivered a Chicago pizza to Pope Leo. They brought him a pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
They drove 6 hours to Chicago, got the frozen pizza from a place called Aurelio's, which is one of his favorites. And it's a place that actually they have now made a Pope Leo chair. They got it from a church, and that is the place he sits. So it is in that restaurant right now. Anyway, they took this to the Vatican. He saw them with the pizza. They held up a sign that says, "We have Aurelio's pizza."
Oh, my gosh.
And he told his security, "I want that pizza."
Are you serious?
And so they gave it to him.
So I saw a headline that said, "See the Pope's reaction to a special delivery." I had no idea
really
it was
funny.
Pizza.
Yeah, they packed it with dry ice. And as he was making his way, he saw the sign and told his security people, "Go get that pie. I want it."
That's insane.
How great is that?
That's awesome. Well, I know that he's continued to, people have brought baseballs for him to sign. He received the Da Pope DA.
T-shirt.
Da Pope T-shirt.
Yeah.
Did he put it on or just hold it up?
I think he took it, he held it up, he gave it to somebody, and they took it away.
So he's the Chicago,
look, man,
the Chicago Catholics are coming through.
Not Catholic, but having an American Pope is really fun.
It was a game you didn't know you wanted to win.
Right.
Until we won it.
That is exactly right.
We were
right.
Following, I know our boss, we're like, oh, well, how long do we carry this?
Because we had Fred Bottomer in.
We had
the
religion
expert.
Editor, yes. And we're thinking, well, how long do we carry this? That, you know, the day that they're announcing the Pope.
The white smoke comes out. Yeah.
And then it was an American Pope, and I did not expect to feel like we won an Olympic gold medal.
We did. It's amazing.
It was like winning the Super Bowl. I didn't even know I wanted to win it.
It is such a good way to put it. It's a game you didn't know you wanted to win.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened.
That's how I feel.
Wow. Anyway, so we appreciate you being with us today on this day in which we are, courtesy of Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical and soon to be Plumbing, we are handing out bottled water and lemonade outside the Visitor Center at Forest Park. It is a beautiful park. You should come by and hang out with us for the next hour on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC.
Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.